Revelation chapter number 6. I did the introduction of Revelation chapter 6 last week. If you were not here, you could catch up on YouTube or go to our Facebook page and get caught up. Now, I'm going to say this first of all. It's good to be out to the house of God. I see a good number out on Wednesday night wanting to do Bible study. And I hope you've been enjoying it. I've got a lot of comments about it, and I believe the Lord's really helping. Let me share this. Brother David King, I was in the office. I try to mentor these young preachers and help them and be a blessing to them. And he was in the office today, and I got a call. I saw a call, and then Cindy passed it back to me, and it was from Alabama. He may be listening today. We got a new listener to the services, been listening a month. A friend of mine, Ben Rochester, you know Ben, told this young fellow about me and the church, and now he called me and he said for the last month he'd been hearing it, and it's encouraging him, and that encourages me. Now, I don't know if y'all know this, but when I start on Sunday morning, before the next Sunday, I have preached 9 times. I don't know if you know that. I preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We're going to, I thought it was 70 countries, but I am in 140 countries through the Calvary broadcast in Ohio. And then, I don't know if you know this, but we are on WEMM from 8:30 to 9 o'clock every Thursday. And we still get mail and still get people calling us about the messages and the work of God. And I want to thank the people that help. Now, Brother Mick, that was taken out of here, I love him. He got a bunch of our sermons together and put them on discs and was a big help. So he's a help. But the original Tim Smith, who used to go here, who's in Raleigh, North Carolina, is doing the editing for EMM and does the editing for our worldwide messages for every week. So that's Brother Tim Smith. So if you ever think about him, see him on Facebook, you ought to thank him for what the Lord's doing. And I'm glad God's doing some things here. And Brother Zach, I want to say something to Brother Zach and before all y'all. Brother Zach went down to help Brother Jared shoemate in revival. And Brother Zach, I want you to know, Brother Jared Callback, you've done a wonderful job. You were a blessing. Thank God for the men of God in the church. Amen? All right, turn to Revelation 6. Now, I've done the introduction. Now, let's go verse by verse, try to go over these four horsemen of the apocalypse. Now, do you still have, I hope you brought your handouts with you and your outline with you tonight. We have handouts and outlines that you should have had from last week. Now, let's look at the passage again. I'll read it again. I'm going to try to move quickly. I don't know if I'll get done, but I'll try. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Remember now, chapter 4, chapter 5, he is the one found worthy to open the seals. Amen? Why is he worthy? He's worthy because of creation, and he's worthy because of your redemption. And by the way, it showed his credentials on the outside of that scroll. And then on the inside, by the way, that scroll was the title deed of the earth. And I'll tell you, on the inside, it shows a specific way that God's going to judge this planet during the tribulation period to get that land back, give it back to Israel. I know some of these dingbat preachers. We used dingbat back in the day. Say that Israel done, and the church has replaced Israel. That is not true. Amen. All you had to do is read Romans 11. You'll see God's not done with Israel. This whole thing, the 70th week of Daniel, is about Israel. Somebody help me preach. All right. And I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, and I heard as it were a noise of thunder, one of the four beasts come and say, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse. Now we'll do this. I'll stop, interpret this, then go to the next horse. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. Now notice that he had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Number one, I want to talk tonight about the white horse of deception. Deception. Even though this man will come on the scene, his name is the Antichrist. He is the ultimate deceiver. Amen? And the Lamb will open the seal because the Lamb is in charge. I want all y'all to know, you may think this world's out of kilter and this world's going to hell in a handbasket, and it is, but God knows all about it and is arranging it all, and we're getting close to the end. Amen. Amen. Sometimes, all right, I see Christians and they think God's lost control or something. No, no, no. Everything that's happening is right because of the sovereign design of God. He raises up kings and puts down kings. You know why President Biden's there? Because he's a weak man. And if you don't think he's a weak man, you've lost your mind too. He's a weak president. He's weakened, but that is all in the plan of God to usher in a one world government and a one world church, and Biden's just a pawn. And I know some of you that are staunch in one party or another may get aggravated at that. Just get aggravated with me. It's a fact. And it's not just him. Trump was in there because God put him in there. And Obama was in there because God put him in there. I'm not just talking about one man. I'm talking about a God that's in control. He sets up kings and puts down kings. It's God's in control. Hey, this, and the devil's not in control. He thinks he is, but he isn't. Boy, I think I'm preaching tonight. Whew. Hallelujah. Then one of the living creatures with a voice like a thunder. See, that voice comes from heaven's throne. If you read the Revelation, that throne of God's mentioned 45 times. It's significant. The thunder speaks of authority and judgment and an impending storm. Amen. Warren Wiersbe said events will take place on the earth because of God's sovereign direction. Hey, he sent a Savior in the fullness of time. And we've been, and this tribulation period is the 70th week of Daniel. 69 weeks until Messiah was cut off on March 30th, 1833. It was in the fullness of time. And then somebody said, well, why didn't the 70th week already happen? Because God had a mystery, and you're the mystery, the church. And then the church is going to be taken out. The mystery will be taken out because the 70th week of Daniel doesn't have anything to do with her. Well, good Lord. Someone now, help me here. And one of four beasts said, come and see. And now let's look. Look what he shows him. And I saw and behold a white horse. Now, when you first see that, and I know some Bible commentaries, says that white horse there and that rider is Christ. That's absolutely impossible. And it's not true. And I'm going to prove it's not true in a moment. Because, see, the white horse will turn to a red horse, then the rider will mount up on a black horse, and then it will end up on a pale horse. The four horsemen of the apocalypse. Are y'all with me? Now, deception is determined to conquer. Look at verse 2. And I saw, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had, what'd he have? A bow. Notice something. Did you notice something? No arrows. No errors. What do you mean? He's going to conquer the world with peace. Now, hold a minute. You don't have to turn, but I'm going to turn. If you want to, you want to follow me, you go over to Daniel chapter number 9. And I'm going to read a verse to you so you can see this. I want you to prove this to you right in the scripture. It talks about the 70 weeks of Daniel. Look at verse 27 if you're there. If you're not there, listen. And he shall confirm that he is the Antichrist, the covenant with many for a week. He will make a peace pact with Israel. Are you hearing me? A covenant with Israel. He'll conquer without a fight. He'll conquer through diplomacy. He'll be the first man. Clinton couldn't do it. Neither one of the Bushes could do it. Ronald Reagan couldn't do it. Obama can't do it. Trump can't do it. Biden couldn't do it. They cannot bring peace to that country, but they will be a peace candidate. A false prophet. Well, excuse me, he's not the false prophet, but I use it in that vernacular. I hope you understood what I'm trying to. A deceiver! And he will do it. I mean, he's going to be such a deceiver that Israel, and you folks that come around, go with me over there, I want you to know something. Them people can fight. Them people know how to fight. They don't do the kind of fight we do in the United States. They fight to win. Amen. That 6-day war, they wiped it all out. Somebody help me preach. They know how to fight. Can you? That, and all they've known is fighting. But this deceiver will come and convince them to lay down their arms and sign a peace pact for 7 years. Then in the middle of the week or in the middle of the tribulation, he will be the ultimate deceiver, walk into the new temple that's going to be over there. And when I take you folks there, we're going to go to a museum. And in that museum, you'll see a candelabra there. And they're going to use that candelabra in the tribulation temple. And you're going to see that. And later, you'll lift up your head. Your redemption draws nigh. He's going to be a deceiver. He's going to be a white horse. He had a bow, no arrows. He's going to establish that covenant. He had a crown, was given unto him, a victor's crown. And he didn't take anything. He didn't fight for it. He goes out to conquer. Now, before you think this is Christ, will you turn your Bible for a minute? Let me show the real Savior. See, the Antichrist will, and the devil's going to try to duplicate everything Christ does. Somebody help me preach. Now, you read about that white horse, didn't you, Lois? Well, you heard it. Now go to 19th chapter of Revelation. Let's read about another one. And I saw heaven open. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called what? Faithful and true. And in what righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And he had on his head many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That Word there is Jesus. Amen. Are you convinced of it? Amen. And the armies which are in heaven followed upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Man, I wish we knew how to do a passion play with the Lord coming out of heaven, and we coming with him on white. Okay, by the way, that army is you. If you're born again, blood washed, saved, you're going to come out of heaven on a white horse. You are part of the army. Somebody ought to shout. And out of his mouth go a sharp sword. He don't have a bow. He has a sword. That with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. So who's the rider of this white horse? He's not Christ. Some say, here's some of the ignorant beliefs that I have read about through some commentaries. And I want to say this to you. I don't down reformers, but those reformers had no clue about prophecy. Amen and amen anyway. Some taught it's advancing gospel. That's not true. Then some taught it was Apollo, the false religions. Then some, the fourth of the Antichrist. Then the spirit of conquest. Then the government persecuting Christians. And the devil's servants in general. This is, hey, hold it. This rider, first of all, is not Jesus. Somebody help me preach. Here's the best view. It's an evil spirit of conquest embodied in the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist. Now, turn with me. Have you got your Bibles? I'm going to show you a passage. Wow. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. Can you do it with me? Amen. Chapter number 2. Hurry. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I want you to see this. This man, he's the ultimate deceiver, Brother Jeff. Ultimate. He is the deceiver. Now look, are you there in 2 Thessalonians 2? Amen. I'm going to show you one of the pictures in the Bible of the Antichrist, or who is the Antichrist. Go to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 2, 3 and 4. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself all that is called God, who or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Then he said, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Now what's holding him back? The Holy Ghost. And where is the Holy Ghost? Inside the believer. So here's what's got to happen. You've got to get stats out of here for him to be revealed. I hear people say, well, the rapture starts the tribulation. Untrue. The revelation of the Antichrist starts the tribulation. Wow. And by the way, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let it until he be taken out of the way. When the Holy Spirit's taken out, he'll become as he was in the Old Testament. And when that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, verse 8, and destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him who is coming after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness. He is a deceiver. See, the ultimate battle is always between truth and error. Between real and false. There will be a great spiritual deception, both socially and politically. By the way, there's great deception today. It separates the true from the fake. And by the way, there's a lot of fakes out there. There's a lot of fakes. It reveals the genuine article and the real deal. By the way, I'll tell you how to examine if a movement of the movement is God or the devil. I've been asked recently about a lot of things going on in the religious world. And I'm not judging nobody, okay? I ain't got time for that. But I will tell you this. If it don't line up with Scripture, it's not of God. That's a fact. Now, somebody asked me a question. Can people get saved in some of those things? Yes, sir. You know what Paul said? If the gospel is preached in pretense or truth, or in sincerity, I glory in the gospel. So some people might say a gospel word or gospel message. But I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, not everything that's going on is godly. Amen. And you know, there's been some of my Baptist brethren, I'm astonished how ignorant they are. Hey, I want y'all to know something. I'm against ecumenicalism. I believe in ecclesiastical separation. Hey, boy's quiet in here. Hey, by the way, somebody asked me, why you pastored 45 years here? I have. And still going. 45 years here. Why haven't y'all split over doctrine? Because I ain't going to let nobody split over doctrine. Now, I want you to know, I'm bold enough. You get false doctrine, you start bringing it in here. Now, if you're cuckoo about some doctrine, I'll teach you as long as you're cooperative. But if you try to bring false doctrine in here, you're out and we're staying in. That's just the way it is. And I'll probably get on some YouTube site after this sermon. But I don't really care. Because there is a deceiver. Hey, by the way, the spirit of the Antichrist is here right now. Amen. And there's a lot of people being duped. Amen. Well, let's go. Let's go. Second horse. I think I can get this far. Hopefully a little further. We'll try. Look at verse 3 and 4. I want you to know something. The horse changes, but the rider doesn't. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now, I'm going to go quickly on this, but I want you to listen carefully. The peace that was promised and provided leaves quickly. And this Antichrist will become a man of war then. And there'll be worldwide war and even civil war. Now notice, verse 3, destruction is inevitable. Christ remains in control as he always is. This is a sovereign action of God. The red horse of war inevitably will follow the white horse of conflict. In verse 4, the destruction is immense. Look at it. The color is red. Directly depicts his mission of bloodshed and slaughter. And he takes peace. And I want y'all to notice, and they kill with a sword. I've done a little word study on that. It was kind of fascinating. Do you know a lot of the killing that's going to be coming in then will be killing within the nation, people killing each other? Civil unrest. Worldwide calamity. We see it already in our country. And by the way, it really bothers me that we have two rules in this society. One rule for one group and one rule for another group. And you know, they burn down cities and everything. Well, that, you know, that's not bad. Amen. I want you to know, I don't know if it'll happen. It ain't going to happen in my time because I'm going to be out of here. But there'll be a day in America that people in America is going to destroy each other. We're already doing a good job of it. Look at the policemen that have been killed. Look at the violence in our streets. I want you to know something. Matthew 24 said, many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. I've never seen so much hate in my life in our country and around the world. But it really bothers me, the hate in our country. And I'm not just blaming one different group of people, because there's hate on both sides of the spectrum. I mean, there is. You'd be foolish not to believe that. There's a lot of hate. And the only hope for hate is the love of Jesus. Amen. 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 But let me go on. I'm trying to, let's go to verse 5 and 6. By the way, the horse is changing again. See, he comes in as a peace candidate, establishes a peace covenant with Israel, turns around. And by the way, that's why it says there's wars and rumors of wars. See, here's what's happening. There'll be a group of wars that keeps fighting through the tribulation period till the last war, which is the Battle of Armageddon. Amen? Now, let's look at the black horse. War is closed. Look at verse 5 and 6. Are you there? Say amen. I want to get through this. And we had opened the third seal. I heard a third beast come and see. And behold, and lo, a black horse. Now, he really shows what he is. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his head and scales. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny. Let me tell you, in Bible days, a penny was a day's wages. Are y'all with me? And a penny would buy 8 measures of wheat in Bible days. But in the last day, when the Antichrist appears, there's going to be famine all over the world. And it'll take everything you make to buy just enough to feed a family of four. 1 quart of wheat will feed a family of four. You said, well, what if they have a family of 10? Well, they won't eat wheat. 3 measures of barley. And barley was fed to animals. In the last day, there'll be a famine because of war. And pestilence because of war. And they'll eat food that ordinarily was for animals. There'll be starvation. And by the way, in America, we have it pretty good right now. I can't imagine what America is going to be like when famine hits America. You remember, how many remember, old enough to remember in the 70s when they had the gas stations were locked down. You could only buy so much. And I saw carnality there. I saw one woman smack another woman right in the mouth over gas, her jumping in front of the line. What do you think they're going to do for the rich when the food is gone? Are y'all with me? You say, that scares me. I'm not scared of you. You're not going to be there. Dear God, famine will be unstoppable. It's the black horse. Famine will be unbearable. But then notice the phrase, don't hurt the oil and the wine. Why? Why that phrase? Because there's going to be a rich upper class, the Antichrist representing it, that will be thriving while the whole world's starving. And you may, Americans don't know much about famine, but take a trip to Africa. When I first started as your pastor, first mission trip I went to, was Haiti. And starvation was there everywhere. It's terrible to see it. Could you imagine that kind of famine and starvation hit America? It's going to. Now, I did not get to this, and you might want, let me say this to you. I've been asked a question. I should have covered it with the red horse. I'll cover it now. Might stimulate your mind for next week. I might even have some questions. I'm not going to get quite done with this, but I'll go on through the chapter next week. People ask me, where's America in all this? Where's America? Now, I'm going to give you what I believe. We're going to be destroyed. I have two areas that I think we're going to be destroyed. But this nation is not mentioned in prophecy. Now, you might find them in the European Confederacy. You might even, some teach it, that political Babylon America's a part of. But I personally don't think she's going to be around because I think Russia's going to take her out. I think we're going to be destroyed by a nuclear holocaust. I know some of you think you're nuts. Well, look at this commander in chief over right now. He scares me. I mean, somebody with no strength, talking some of the stuff he talks, he might have to back it up one day. And now, right now, China. Oh, my Lord, I wish I had another hour with y'all tonight. I'd even take questions. China right now is getting it's very possible that they'll give lethal weapons to Russia. Now, they may not, but it's very possible that they will. Even if they don't now, they will. By the way, do you not know that China is going to cut a 200 million horseman army in the tribulation is going to come up and go through the river Euphrates to attack Israel? And that 200-man army, there's only one nation in the world that can house that many people. And that is China. And they're going to meet one day at the Battle of Armageddon. I'm taking you... You church members, in a couple of weeks, we're going to go to Megiddo. You're going to stand up there on Solomon's, where Solomon's stable is high. I hope we get up on the top. And he'd be able to look over that vast valley that Napoleon said is the greatest battlefield of the world, where all nations are going to gather. Now, you say, well, how can they all fit in there? Got to understand, a half of the population will be dead the time Armageddon comes. I'm not getting done tonight. I can see that. Have I interested you a little bit? I'm trying to go slow. Now, how many would like for me to pause a little bit and give you all a chance to ask me questions? Anybody? Or would you do it? I don't even know if you'd do it. You don't have to be scared of me. If a teen's going to ask me, you can. I'll stop. I'll get back into the black horse next week to go on to the pale horse. One question, loud as you can, okay?
When you were talking about the three or the horsemen, the characters you were talking about, is that not Satan and Trinity?
That is the Antichrist.
Repeat the question, please.
Yeah, let me, Danny, hold on. I couldn't hear it very well either. Cool. Walk down, big man. Don't y'all like how I'm doing? Y'all ought to pat Dave Briscoe on the head. Go ahead.
My question was, in talking about the horsemen,
uh-huh.
or somewhere in that part of the 7 years,
uh-huh.
it was revealing the Trinity of Satan.
Yes. Here's the thing about it. The Antichrist is the rider on all four horses. The horses change it, but the rider doesn't. Okay?
Okay.
The Antichrist will be controlled by the devil, of course. Then when we get to chapter 13, in the middle of the tribulation, when this same Antichrist will walk into that Jewish temple and claim himself to be God. What we're talking about today, what we're talking about tonight,
right,
is what they call the least deadly of the two halves of the tribulation. And I'll cover more next week on those questions. If think about it. If you've got a question, please think about it and ask me. I'd rather you do it. But let me ask you this. Somebody else got a question? Hold on. Let me walk back there. Hey, Lord, I got to hurry. We're past 5 minutes and Baptists will get upset. Hold on, honey. I'm coming back there.
He's going to scare us. We're going to be scared.
No, I'm not going to be scared.
Whoa.
You're not either.
But
you're not going to be here.
Wait a second here.
Okay.
You said.
Sure, I said it.
Christ is going to walk into
to the temple.
That's what scares me.
Well, honey, we're not here. It's the Jewish temple. He is going. You know what he's going to do? He's going to offer a sacrifice in there. An abomination, it's called the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. He will go in and will pour pork juice on the temple of God. And you know what the Jews think of pork? On the temple of God, he's going to blaspheme. But the good thing is, you're not going to be there because you've been raptured. That's after we leave. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes. You ought to shout. Every one of you all shout. How many of you glad you're not going to go through 1 minute of that? You ought to be walking on a cloud tonight. You ought to rejoice because you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb and sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. You're a child of God, the heir of God, the joint heir with Jesus. Dear God, I'm about to get happy. Get up here and sing something. We're going to close. I'm 7 minutes over. Y'all just keep acting me on. I'll keep you here to midnight. You don't understand. I got a lot of teaching. I'm just, oh, glory. Amen. Sing something.
What a day.
If you're not saved, you come and get saved tonight.
In my
stand. Can you worship?
And
that you don't have to go through that.
Upon his
we'll be with Jesus.
The one who saved me by
his
grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land.
What a day. There might be some people online, and some of y'all already know I'm crazy. Think we're nuts in here. But I want to tell you, start thinking about what we got and what we're going to be delivered from. We're delivered from the wrath to come. No hell, no tribulation. Somebody praise him. Let me dismiss. Our Father, we love you. Thank you for the Bible study. Turned into a worship study. Woo! Bless your name. Bless the blood of Jesus on us. Thank you that we can claim the blood. And they overcame the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet by the blood. I'm glad there's victory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.